Imagine an initiate standing before a polished surface inside a temple. It's not a mirror in the modern sense. It doesn't offer a flattering reflection. It's dark. It's almost absorptive. The teacher doesn't ask the initiate to look harder. He asks them to become still enough that the surface changes. Only then does the initiate understand. This is not a mirror that reflects who you are. It's a mirror that responds to who you are becoming. This is the Hermetic premise that we are going to enter today, that divine knowledge is not acquired by observation alone. It's revealed through resemblance. To know God is not to study the divine from a distance, but to align one's being with divine order until recognition occurs. In Hermeticism, knowledge is not neutral, it transforms the knower. Hermeticism arises from a world that didn't separate knowing from being. In the modern imagination, knowledge is something that we collect. We collect facts, concepts, information stored safely on the shelf. In the ancient Hermetic worldview, this would have sounded incoherent. Hermeticism, emerging in Hellenistic Egypt, assumes that reality is alive, it's intelligent and participatory. The cosmos is not an object to be examined, it's a living presence that responds to consciousness. To know something truly is to come into right relationship with it. This is why the Hermetic texts do not begin by defining God. They begin by transforming perception. Hermes Trismegistus, the voice through whom these teachings come, isn't presented as a philosopher who's offering theories. He is the great revealer, one who speaks after having undergone transformation. His authority doesn't come from argument, but from alignment. In the Corpus Hermeticum, Hermes repeatedly insists that divine knowledge cannot be given to those who remain unchanged by it. So who is God in Hermetic thought? Hermeticism doesn't imagine God as a distant ruler who's issuing commands from beyond the world. God is described as infinite, intelligible, and present everywhere, both transcendent and immanent. In the Corpus Hermeticum, Hermes describes the divine as that which cannot be grasped by the senses, yet is known through nous, which is also known as divine intellect. This God is not encountered through belief alone. God is known through likeness. The divine is intelligible because it is intelligence itself. To know God, one must cultivate intelligence of the same quality, not cleverness, but clarity. This is why Hermetic texts speak of awakening nous within the human being. Nous is not the rational mind. It's the faculty that's capable of perceiving truth directly without distortion. So when the nous awakens, recognition occurs. Ontology, which is the study of being, it matters quite deeply here. Hermeticism makes a radical ontological claim. Reality is structured such that like knows like. You cannot know courage by studying bravery from afar. You know courage by becoming capable of it. You cannot know justice by analyzing it endlessly. You know justice by embodying proportion and fairness. In the same way, you cannot know God by observation alone. You know God by becoming godlike in quality. This is not imitation as performance. It's imitation as participation. The Asclepius states the following: man is a great wonder, not because humans dominate creation, but because they are capable of aligning with divine intelligence while they are embodied. This capacity makes the human being both sacred and dangerous. In Hermeticism, virtue is not moral conformity, it's ontological alignment. Virtue clears perception, but vice distorts it. This is why ethical instruction appears again and again in the Hermetic text, not necessarily as rules, but as prerequisites for knowing. Anger clouds perception. Greed fragments attention. Excess binds the soul to necessity. These aren't sins. These are impediments to clarity. Hermes teaches that the soul weighed down by passion cannot perceive the divine, not because the divine withholds itself, but because the soul has made itself opaque. To become like God, then, is to cultivate qualities that resemble divine order. Those include clarity, proportion, restraint, reverence, truthfulness. Modern spirituality often encourages people to learn about the divine. Hermeticism demands something a little bit more difficult: transformation of the knower. Hermes tells his student Tat that divine knowledge is not transferred through speech alone. It arises when the soul becomes capable of receiving it. This is why Hermetic dialogues often end quite abruptly or with exhortations to silence. Speech can point, but it can't replace readiness. The initiate must become still enough, clear enough, ordered enough for recognition to occur. This is participatory knowing. The knower changes shape. Hermetic texts, they don't ask humans to imitate divine power or dominance or control. They ask humans to imitate divine intelligence. God is described as unifying rather than fragmenting, ordering rather than overwhelming, generative rather than possessive, luminous rather than coercive. To imitate God is to become less reactive, not more impressive. It's to act from clarity rather than through compulsion. This is why silence, moderation, and reverence appear repeatedly as virtues. They stabilize the inner field so nous can operate. Hermeticism is careful to distinguish divine likeness from hubris. The desire to become godlike without purification leads to distortion. In Hermetic language, this is the difference between awakening nous and inflating ego. True likeness to the divine, it produces humility, not superiority. It produces responsibility, not entitlement. The awakened person recognizes their participation in a living cosmos and acts accordingly. This is why Hermes insists that those who awaken must become guardians of order, not disruptors of it. Hermeticism doesn't reserve divine imitation for temples or initiations. Everyday life is the proving ground. How do you speak when no one's listening? How do you choose when emotion surges? How do you act when clarity would be inconvenient? Each moment becomes an opportunity to either align or to distort. To become like God is not to escape humanity, but to inhabit it consciously. So as in all Hermetic teachings, we return to silence, because the deepest resemblance to the divine is not found in constant assertion, but in presence. The divine doesn't rush. It doesn't explain itself endlessly. It remains intelligible. It remains ordered and generative. The initiate who becomes like God doesn't dominate conversation. They listen until speech becomes necessary. So Hermeticism doesn't ask, do you believe in God? It asks, are you capable of recognizing the divine? To know God is not to define the infinite. It's to align the finite with it. And when likeness is achieved, even briefly, recognition occurs, not as belief, but as knowing. The mirror changes and you realize it was never reflecting you at all. Everyone, thank you for listening to today's episode. As always, I really hope you have a great week ahead. Take care of yourselves, and I'll see you again next Sunday.